It's Arthur Idala on AM 970. The Answer.
This is the Arthur Idala Power Hour with quintessential New Yorker attorney Arthur Idala, New York's go-to lawyer. He's here to share his stories from in the courtroom and around the city with interviews from high-profile guests and everyday folks calling in to talk about everything from politics, lifestyle, health and wellness, and more. And now your host, making the case for the city he loves, attorney Arthur Idala.
All right, it is back. It is great to be back in the saddle. It is 6:04 on a Wednesday night, right? Am I right, Alex? Is it Wednesday?
Yes, and I know we're going to talk about everything from your past week here, but welcome back to your show.
Thank you very, very much. I want to thank Joan Pelzer and Judge George Grosso for filling in. I know there was a lot of Trump talk. I have a very special guest. Before I get to that special guest, I just want to say I had an unbelievable time in Washington, D.C., from spending time with Congressman Tom Suozzi, who's been a frequent guest on the show and will be going forward. He took me, gave me a personal tour of the Capitol and then took me to the Gallery of Congress, and I got to see Congress in action, to dinner with Juan Williams and his lovely wife, which was fantastic. To going to the United States Supreme Court and seeing arguments as a guest of Justice Alito, which was very, 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 very cool, to going back to chambers and spending time with him and actually his whole staff, which was great, finding Justice Scalia's former team and speaking and spending time with them. And then I got to hang out with my buddy from college who's been on this show many times, Chuck Thies. And back today, worked my tail off on that Amtrak train. Kudos to Amtrak getting me there and back. It was excellent. I took the Acela on Monday morning after doing a bunch of stuff live from the courthouse at the beginning of the Trump trial, which we will talk about at that bottom of the hour with Judge Kamens.
I saw a lot of coverage with you on your social media there, Arthur. You were all over the place.
Yeah, well, you know, it is kind of my home base, that courthouse. Actually, tonight I'm going to be on CNN as well, I believe at 9 o'clock tonight on the Caitlin Collins The Source show. But let me get to our next guest, or first guest, I should say. She is a face that everyone recognizes now. She's omnipresent. Leading this city, she is a young woman who has her trajectory is heading towards the stars, past the eclipse even. Jennifer Raj Kumar is an assemblywoman from Queens who is a fixture at City Hall and up in Albany, and it is a pleasure to have the lady in red back on our show. Hello, assemblywoman. How are you?
Good evening, Arthur. Greetings from the state capitol. Always love being on air with you.
I appreciate it, and you do such a great job. So let's cut to the chase. I mean, we're talking about the budget. There is so much to talk about regarding the budget. But one of several things that you are championing, and I will tell you, my mother, who adores you, would be very happy about this, is your Smokeout Act, which is trying to give the city the power to close down all of these legal marijuana shops. Talk to us about that, Assemblywoman.
Well, I am proud to announce for the first time publicly on your show that we have secured a major victory and we have reached a deal, and my Smokeout Act will pass in the state budget. So,
wow,
this is,
that's big news. Alex, can we get some applause? Alex, can we
absolutely.
Get some applause? Hold on, Jennifer. We've got to get there. We've got to get there. 1 second. 3, 2, 1. Hit it, Alex. Almost. Okay, we'll get to the applause eventually, Alex. I know I like threw your curveball
so
there. No, but that's great. Thank you. There we go.
There
we go.
Thank you, Assemblywoman.
Look, it's a big deal. You, right on like the block where my parents live, there are several of these illegal pot shops. So talk to me. Give us some details. Give us the breaking news.
So after the Smokeout Act passes this week in the budget, we will begin to close them down. We'll smoke them out and shut them down immediately. And this is my victory, but it's also the people's victory. People rallied across all five boroughs of the city to say, pass the Smokeout Act. I mean, this issue united New Yorkers like no other. So under this deal, New York City will have the ability to close the shops on its own without waiting for the state office of cannabis. And And as we know, the State Office of Cannabis simply doesn't have the manpower to close the shops, but New York City can get the job done. So now New York City will have the power to do it, and Sheriff Miranda will be able to deputize the NYPD to help padlock the shops, which means that New York City can use the NYPD and its full manpower to get the job done and padlock these shops once and for all.
So we're talking to Assemblywoman Jennifer Rajkumar, and we're talking about the, you probably know, how many illegal shops are there? 3,000, 3,600? So how many?
No, in the whole state, 36,000. New York City, over 3,000.
Wow. So, okay, I had the numbers right a little bit. So it's 3,000 in the five boroughs, is that correct?
Yes.
About, obviously, give or take, and 36,000 in the whole state. That's an enormous amount. You know, it's so funny because we just think about the city and we don't think about the cities of Buffalo and Rochester and Syracuse and White Plains and obviously Albany and look at these numbers and how, what, I mean, you're talking about 33,000 shops outside of the five boroughs. How hard was it, Assemblywoman Rajkumar, to get this done? I know you've been working on this for quite some time.
Well, I started on the first day of session, so we started with a bang. And in this instance, common sense prevailed. What was amazing to me was people all over the city reached out to me. Just last week, I was in Harlem with a group that was very upset because an illegal smoke shop was opening right near a daycare center. And so 30 kids, all 4 years old, from that daycare center, they came to Albany last week. And these little four-year-olds were carrying signs saying we have to pass the Smokeout Act because the illegal pot shops are endangering the children. So to really see so many people across the city come together, it was very inspiring. You know, when I introduced the bill, I just thought it was the right thing. But to really see New Yorkers step up and say, yes, we support that, we need it, and we're going to rally with you, it was really an incredible experience.
Well, I'll tell you, Assemblywoman, you talk about little kids, right? So go to the other end of the spectrum. My parents went to, I've told the story in the air before, but they went to a restaurant in Bay Ridge where we live. And right across the street from the restaurant was a new place that opened up, and the name of it is Gelato. And those people who know what gelato is, it's an Italian ice cream. It's Italian. I mean, everyone kind of knows what gelato is now, and unlike years ago. So my mom at the restaurant tells my dad, well, let's not order food here. Let's go into the gelato place. And, you know, it's a new place. Let's, like, give them some of our business. And they walk in, and apparently gelato is like a strain of marijuana or something like that. And they walk in and guys selling weed, and my mom went nuts on this boy. It's a relatively young kid behind the counter, and she ripped him apart. And of course she called Councilman Justin Brannon, and she complained there, and I believe they shut him down once, and within 24 to 48 hours they were reopened. So here's what I want to ask you, Assemblywoman Rajkumar: in this bill, what will stop these places from reopening?
You're exactly right. That was the problem, was that before, the illegal businesses would get shut down, and then they would just pay a fine and then open right back up. But that was because the city didn't have the power to permanently padlock them. And now it does. So now it's a different ballgame. And that so-called gelato shop, that won't be able to reopen again. It's going to just be shut down, and that's it. Finito.
Oh, finito. So I didn't even know that Assemblywoman Rajkumar speaks Italian. I mean, we're talking about gelato. Now we're going with finito. Well, and we have 2 minutes for we're going to go to a commercial break, and then I'm going to ask if you could stick around and talk about other issues with the budget. But what was City Hall's position surrounding the Smoke Out Act and their role, if any, did they play in helping get this, push this through?
Mayor Eric Adams endorsed the bill on day one, and he is very happy with the cannabis deal. And Sheriff Miranda has been doing a wonderful job, but now he will have backup. He will have the enforcement powers that he needs to close these shops. So I was so proud to have the support of City Hall and the mayor, because the mayor care so much about public safety. And like me, he wants New Yorkers to be safe and healthy and our children to be safe. And now we can achieve that.
All right. Jennifer Rajkumar, she's an assemblywoman from Queens. She is a fixture. She's all over the place. She is maybe one of the hardest working public servants out there. And she's, you could always spot her because her trademark is to wear something red. And she's got a very energetic, vivacious, gregarious personality and is a joy to be around. She's a real champion for the city of New York. And I'm not saying this because she's on the show. I would say this to someone who asked me if I knew Assemblywoman Rajkumar. So, but she also knows her stuff. She knows the way city and state government works. And the budget has a lot of there's a lot of stuff in the New York State budget. So we are going to ask Assemblywoman Rajkumar to hold on for us while we just bang out a couple of quick commercials. And we'll come back and maybe we'll talk about mayoral control of the Department of Education and some other little treats that might be in the budget as Alex plays a little marijuana song. All right, folks, it's the Arthur Idala Power Hour. Don't go anywhere.
The Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins. Suffering an injury in an accident can be a life-changing experience. Whether you've been involved in a car accident, a construction site accident, a slip and fall, or injured because of someone else's negligence, we can help. Our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you are owed. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you have been injured because of someone else's negligence, you have legal rights and may be entitled to significant money to compensate you for your pain and suffering. Hiring the right attorney is important. The combined experience of the lawyers at Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins will be able to lead you through the personal injury lawsuit process and aggressively fight for the best result. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at IdalaLaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins. Fighting for justice. Fighting for you.
Okay, let's talk about Bay Ridge Honda and my buddy Rob Sabah, who's run it since his dad handed off the baton to him. His sister Danielle is floating around there as well. The Sabah family has been a part, or owner, I should say, of Bay Ridge Honda for over 60 years. The reason why? Well, it's a couple of reasons why. Number one, they're very fortunate. Mr. Sabah in the 1970s, maybe early, late, like 60s, something like that, he picked an unbelievable product in Honda. Who knew? Who knew? Back then, they were known for motorcycles. And now they're known for being literally one of the greatest cars on the planet. I always mention that Car and Driver has put their Honda Accord and now the Honda Civic, on their Car and Driver best cars list for decades. It's close to 40 years. The Sabah family makes you feel like you're part of their family from the moment you just walk in. You break the threshold of their beautiful showroom on 88th Street and 4th Avenue. And right now, they have $0 deals. That means you don't have to put on any big down payment to walk out or drive out, I should say, with one of their brand new vehicles. On top of that, they have APR rates as low as 1.9% and no payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments, folks. They also, at Bay Ridge Honda, have the best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the all-new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, Honda CR-V, Honda Accord, and Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive home today, serving all five boroughs and the state of New Jersey. Every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. So what are you going to do? You're going to visit Bay Ridge Honda either in person on 4th Avenue and 88th Street or online at BayRidgeHonda.com.
On behalf of AM 970 The Answer, I'd like to invite you to a very special evening, maybe some good food, and definitely some great show. Kevin McCullough here, inviting you to be part of our fourth annual Broadcast for Broadway as the Radio Night Live Fun Friday team gets ready to host on May 10th. Joining me will be First Lady of New York Hospitality and Chair of the Broadway Association, Christine Nicholas. It'll be a two-hour live broadcast. Times Square's very own T-Square, Tom Harris, president of the Times Square Alliance, will also join us. With special guests from the hottest shows on Broadway, producers, actors, and more, as well as interviews with Times Square's fabulous eateries and attractions. Make sure to join us on AM 970 from 7 to 9 p.m. Friday, May 10th for a show you won't want to miss. Live from Times Square, as it's our fourth annual broadcast for Broadway. From Broadway's Radio Authority, Radio Night Live on AM 970, The Answer.
We all know that planning for the future is important. You and your family need to be protected. If you're not around to make decisions, who will? Are your assets protected from probate and nursing home costs? You know when the time to plan is? The time to plan is now. Wills, trusts, power of attorneys, healthcare proxies, living wills, your overall estate plan. Attend the Connors and Sullivan free seminar. When will you be able to do that? Next Wednesday, a week from today, April 24th at Conley's Corner, Grand Avenue, Maspeth, Queens at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Thursday, April 25th at Don Roberto's, Forest Avenue, Staten Island, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Friday, April the 26th at the Adria Hotel, Northern Boulevard, Bayside, Queens at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday, April the 29th at the Great Greenhouse Cafe in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn on 3rd Avenue, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And Tuesday, April the 30th at Buckley's Restaurant in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn at 11 a.m. at 3 p.m. If you can't make it to one of these free seminars, call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500 for your own free office appointment. That's 718-238-6500. And remember, folks, Mike Connors always says the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Lady in red is dancing with me. There's nobody here.
Well, welcome back to the Arthur Idala Power Hour. It's Arthur Idala back from Washington, D.C. with a great guest on the line. Another great guest coming up with Judge Barry Cammons talking about any developments in the Donald Trump trial over the last couple of days that I have not been here. But let's go back to Assemblywoman Jennifer Rajkumar representing the borough of Queens. Assemblywoman, there's a lot that gets put into a budget plan or a budget proposal, which is what's on the table right now. I know one of the big factors that the mayor was quite concerned about was mayoral control of the Department of Education. Can you give us an update on that?
Absolutely. First, I'd like to share some good news for all New Yorkers is that there will be no new taxes in this budget.
All right.
I can tell you that. Also, we're going to be building more housing in this city, increasing the housing production. But yes, mayoral control, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it looks like we are heading towards a last-minute victory for the city of New York, and it'll be a two-year extension of mayoral control. And that's good news, because this is really common sense. The old way, before we had mayoral control, didn't work. It was dysfunctional. It was a decentralized system with power diffused over 32 community school boards. It didn't work. And so that's why 20 years ago, we implemented mayoral control. But the mayor has to come to Albany every few years and beg legislators for a renewal of mayoral control. It's a song and dance that we do in Albany, but in the end, we all know that the only solution is mayoral control. So I'm also happy to say that it will allow our mayor to continue his leadership of the school system, which has been very successful. He has implemented first-in-the-nation dyslexia screening in all schools. He has brought Google and Northwell to schools to expose them to career training, investing $600 million in that. And under his leadership, New York City schools have outpaced the state on reading and writing. So this means he and Chancellor Banks are going to be able to continue their great leadership of the system.
So let me just ask you something, Assemblywoman. Is the I know the, that the governor put this proposal out there, but is it? And I believe she sat with the head of the assembly and the head of the Senate. So is this like a fait accompli? Like, does it look like this is going to be this is a fact, or is it just a proposal?
It is unfolding as we speak. We could be heading towards this last minute victory, but as I speak, all the legislators are huddled in a room, and we are hashing out those last-minute details. So we will know the answer to this question probably in a few hours. But let's all keep our fingers crossed for New York City and hope that mayoral control becomes a reality.
Okay, switching gears now to something that I know meant a lot to the governor. It had to do with housing. Is there a big housing component to this new budget?
There is. It's significant because last year we left Albany without any housing deal. But we could not let down New Yorkers like that. So now there will be a housing deal. And it's going to spur housing construction. So common sense tax incentives for building will be re-implemented. And that's going to spur housing production in the city. Also, there's going to be provisions that are going to allow for empty Manhattan office buildings to be converted into housing. And we're going to update some zoning regulations from 1960. They haven't been changed since 1960. And that's going to allow us to build a little bit higher in parts of the city. All of this is going to increase the housing stock. And when we increase it, it's going to drive down rents for New Yorkers.
Okay. I don't know how the landlords are going to feel about that. I know there's a piece in there about the landlords and how they can increase rents, though they have to like justify it if it goes above a certain threshold. Am I touching on that the right way?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There was some compromise in it. I believe you're referring to the good cause eviction.
Yes, correct.
Provisions. And yes, there was. So that was pushed by some people from the Democratic Socialists of America and other tenant leaders. But in the end, a version of it is in the budget. Especially some small landlord groups are not very pleased with it.
Yeah, I would think.
So some people call this deal a bit of a mixed bag. But my hope is that it will increase housing production so we can at least get started.
So, again, just to be clear, this is all of the stuff that we're talking about is not a fait accompli. In other words, it hasn't been voted on and it's not definitely going in as we speak. So anyone who's just joining us, we're talking to Assemblywoman Jennifer Rajkumar from Queens. The people are behind closed doors hashing out these terms as we speak. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, it ain't over till it's over. But it looks like things are shaping up, but it could all change tomorrow. You know, the housing deal could fall apart tonight, you know. But we will know all the answers probably by late tonight.
So I know one of the things that my listeners who listen to this show regularly, who hear Chief Kemper from the Chief of Transit come on, who I know you know, and Chief Chell, who comes on often, who I know you know, people want to know, had there been any significant changes besides the ones that you spoke about already, Assemblywoman Rajkumar, regarding cannabis shops and the NYPD being able to close them down. As far as you know, have there been any significant criminal justice reforms, whether it be regarding bail reform? Or I know they were talking about increasing penalties for assaults on retail shop workers. Is there anything new on those front?
Yeah, there's increased enforcement to prevent the crime of shoplifting, which has skyrocketed. And retail theft, people that assault workers at their shops are going to face increased penalties. So that looks like it's making its way in the budget, as well as penalizing landlords who fail to evict illegal cannabis shops on their premises. We have increased the penalties on those landlords to make sure that everybody is involved in cannabis enforcement.
Well, that's kind of funny because on one side you have the socialists saying, you know, don't evict anybody and lower their rent. And don't give them any rent increases. On the other side, you're saying if you don't evict certain people like the cannabis shop owners, you're going to be in big trouble. Before I let you go, I almost called you Congresswoman. Maybe I'm clairvoyant. Assemblywoman Rajkumar, I also believe in the world of criminal justice that you guys are adding some hate crimes or different versions of hate crimes, in this bill, especially during this kind of rough period regarding anti-Semitism in the city of New York. Is there anything you could comment on that front?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's enhanced hate crime provisions. And you know, as the first South Asian woman elected in this state, this means a lot to me. Our South Asian community, our Asian communities, our Jewish communities, we've faced a rise in hate crimes. So I hope that there will be movement on that. I think that's definitely going to enter the final budget.
Okay. Well, folks, you got it. You know, I know I'm a broken record, but, you know, I always said when I started this show, I want to be in a position where people could get the truth and accurate information. Well, there's no more better truth teller and someone talking to you and telling you it like it is than Queens Assemblywoman Jennifer Rajkumar, who's up in Albany right now, where they're hashing out the details of the new budget, where we're talking about mayoral control of the Department of Education, where we're talking about crackdown on cannabis, we're talking about housing, we're talking about crime. So I can't thank you enough, Assemblywoman, for finding the time during this hectic time up in Albany to let the listeners here in the city of New York, the many, many listeners, people were so excited you were coming on today. I got texts and emails saying, oh, good luck with the Assemblywoman. She's great. So thank you so much, Jennifer Rajkumar.
Thank you so much. See you next time.
All right. Keep up the great work. Folks, don't go away. We're coming back with the great Barry Kamins right after this.
This is Joe Piscopo. The following is a medical minute sponsored by my friends at InfuCare RX. InfuCareRx.com. Improving quality of life one patient at a time. Here is this week's Medical Minute with Dr. Neil Nandy of the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania.
Family history is a risk factor for developing inflammatory bowel disease, also known as IBD. A parent with IBD may confer a risk of up to 5% to a child, but two parents who each have IBD may confer a collective risk that increases to 20 to 30% even. The majority of what drives the development of IBD is not genetic for most people, but environmental causes poorly understood. For instance, environmental causes may include things such as smoking, sleep, stress, diet, antibiotics, or more.
This Medical Minute is sponsored by InfuCareRx, and the information, comments, or views expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of InfuCareRx. Please consult your medical professional for any medical questions, opinions, or guidance.
FazTech Industries, that they help you with all of your construction, demolition, and your weekly waste removal needs. They have roll-off containers from 10 to 40 yards, perfect for house, attic, and garbage cleanouts, or construction and demolition debris. FazTech specializes in the removal and recycling of dirt, rock, concrete, brick, and asphalt in all five boroughs in every corner of New Jersey and now serving Westchester County. FazTech is the number one supplier of recycled products. FazTech is the number one wholesaler of virgin quarry materials. And FazTech is the number one provider of roll-off containers. So you want to call Joe C at 718-494-1600. That's 718-494-1600. Mention this ad and you're going to get $25 off your next roll-off container. So go online to FazTechIndustry.com. FazTech Industry is now serving Westchester County, and they are a DeFazio company.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna & Kamins, the preeminent New York litigation law firm. The tires screech, the impact is felt. Boom. You've just been in a car accident. It's a scary situation that none of us want to experience. But if you have been injured in a car accident, then you may be entitled to significant monetary compensation for your injuries. It's important you speak to an attorney right away to make sure your rights are protected. Myself and our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you deserve. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. So if you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call Idala, Bertuna & Kamin at 212-486-0011. That's 212-486-0011. Or visit us on the web at idalalaw.com. idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna & Kamins, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
All right, it's Arthur Idala talking to you about Plaza College, my favorite Plaza College. And I don't know, there's some good news coming down the pipe from my man Chuck, who runs the place over there. Something about a bunch of court reporters being hired by the unified court system, getting scholarships to do so right from Plaza College. Here's the deal. New York State Unified Court System. of which my next guest was a major part of back in the day. They recently held a press conference and they declared that court reporting is the best career you've never heard of because they have just created a position designed specifically for brand new court reporters. The court reporting trainee position allows new court reporters to enter the court system making an annual salary upwards of $75,000 with an additional $4,600 in location pay if you live in New York City, Nassau, or Suffolk County. To qualify for this position, you don't need any working experience as a court reporter. You just have to graduate from an approved court reporting institution like Plaza College and write at 225 words per minute. So if you're not sure if court reporting is right for you, you could test drive the program through Plaza College's free virtual A to Z program. Folks, being a court reporter is an excellent, excellent career. For more information, email info@plazacollege.edu. That's info, I-N-F-O, at plaza, P-L-A-Z-A, college.edu.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
We're back to the Arthur Idala Power Hour with New York City's preeminent trial attorney and quintessential New Yorker, attorney Arthur Idala.
What am I listening to here, Alex?
A little bit of Hush from Deep Purple, because I know we're about to talk about the big trial happening in New York City right now with, the former president.
Okay. And so, because it's the Hush money.
Exactly.
Oh, Hush money. Look at this. All right. Well, when I was down in Washington, D.C., I could be there with a peace of mind because the man holding down the fort here is the Honorable Barry Cammons. Hello, Judge Cammons. How are you, sir?
How are you? Welcome back from Washington, Arthur.
I am just Jim Dandy. I had a wonderful time. But obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on here at 100 Center Street. So why don't you tell me what I miss?
Well, not much, just that the most powerful man was the most powerful person in the world was brought down to 100 Center Street to begin a trial. Let me just make a few observations about the case. You know, of course, Judge Mershon is running this, as we all thought, in a very controlled way. He's making rulings which fair to both sides so far. But I took a step back, and what really renewed my faith in our democracy was I'm looking at this on TV, and I'm watching the photographs, and I'm saying to myself, here we have the great equalizer, this jury trial that we have. Really, when you think about it, the most powerful person in the world, really, for a number of years, is in the same position as a homeless person. Both of them are equally brought before a court and subjected to the jury process, and both of them are really in the same exact position. And it really renewed my faith in democracy. Here we have Mr. Trump, who is now in a somewhat dingy courtroom, subject to the same rules as every other person in this state would have to be on trial. And let me make a little prediction. Judging by his conduct, as was observed, where he muttered something which caused Judge Mershon to reprimand him, my prediction is this. When Michael Cohen gets on the stand next week, the week after, Mr. Trump is going to lose it. He's going to start muttering like he did yesterday or the day before. The jury is going to be excused, and the judge is going to tell him that he's not going to put up with that type of behavior. But that's not going to be the end of it. I think we're going to find that Mr. Trump is not going to be able to behave himself, and he may wind up being subject to being removed from the courtroom and being brought to another room where he can watch the trial on video.
Would that violate his Sixth Amendment right to confrontation?
It will not, because he will be warned. Believe me, Judge Mershon has the script in front of him. And he will be warned that if he does not behave, he will be taken and he will be able to watch the trial. He'll see his accuser, but he will not be able to be in the same courtroom. And I think that's...
Now, has this been litigated?
Yes.
If a defendant misbehaves...
You waive the right to be in the courtroom. Now, what used to happen was, in the old days, even before I was on the bench, people would be gagged, and in front of the jury they would be gagged or shackled. Obviously, you cannot do that in front of a jury. That's the way they used to do it. Now the defendant is told, if you can't behave, you're just going to be removed.
Now, Judge Cammons, someone muttering, okay, to their lawyer who's sitting right next to them, right? Does that rise? Muttering. I mean, what does muttering mean?
Well, they're all degrees of
muttering. Yeah, you lean over, you guys say, this is BS, or he's lying.
Well,
right? I mean, clients do that all the time. When someone's testifying, they look at you, and they look at their lawyer, and say, he's lying, or that didn't happen, or that's not true.
Well, you're right. There are all kinds of mutterings. But if it's something that's said so that it can be heard by the jury and intentionally heard by the jury, that Judge Marchand will not put up with, because he does not want first of all, yesterday he said he does not want any juror to feel intimidated, and apparently what was said by Mr. Trump was an intimidating type of comment, which could be heard by the judge, therefore it could
be heard. Do we know what it was yesterday? Because I wasn't here.
No, I don't think the comment, but Judge Marchand made it clear that he heard it, therefore the jurors heard it, therefore there was a possibility that they could be intimidated. And that he will not put up with, and he will not be put up with that type of conduct when Mr. Cohen or Stormy Daniels takes the stand. I just don't think Mr. Trump has it in him to be able to behave.
So I have to go back and talk about how you started off talking about, you know, your faith in democracy and how, you know, the president and a homeless guy would be in the same courtroom.
Subject to the same rules.
Subject to the same rules. And I agree, if a homeless guy muttered something loud enough that a judge would reprimand that person and say, you know, pipe down, I better not hear that again, etc. But let's go back even before that. A lot of people are saying, from Alan Dershowitz and other people, that this is a case that should have never been brought to begin with, and it's only being brought because, you know the history, but basically it's only being brought to try to keep Donald Trump off of the ballot. Or prevent them from being president again.
Well, Mr. Trump said on Monday when you were in Washington, he said this has never happened before. According to the statistics that I've seen, 9,000 other cases have been brought in New York County where someone has been charged with falsifying business records.
And okay, but under circumstances where they usually then submit those documents as proof that they did something or they didn't do something.
Correct.
Here, if I'm correct, those documents were never presented to anyone. They were just in his office.
Well, when you say they weren't presented, but he wrote checks to Mr. Cohen, which clearly show, or the prosecutor will show, were disguised payments to reimburse him for payments that he made to Stormy Daniels. But let me just, your listeners may not be aware of something, and there's something that they're going to find out, I believe, on Monday when I think opening statements are going to be made. Up to this point, Mr. Bragg has not divulged what the other crime is that was involved in this case. For the listeners to understand, the falsifying business records is a misdemeanor. It is bootstrapped to a felony if it's done with the intent to commit another crime. That other crime has never been revealed by Mr. Bragg, either in the indictment or in his press conferences. But at the opening statement, I think, which will be on Monday, the prosecutor will have to lay out for the jury what that other crime is. And there's a whole menu of other crimes for which this has now can become a felony. There are federal and state tax laws, election laws, and the whole world will find out what the prosecutor says Mr. Trump's intent was in falsifying these business records. The interesting question is, if there's more than one crime that Mr. Bragg tells us was the ultimate intent of Mr. Trump, what if four jurors find that they believed in one crime and eight jurors find another crime? Does that convict Mr. Trump? I don't know.
And that's the part that rubs me the wrong way. Because you're Barry Cammons, you literally write books on the law, you write an article in the Law Journal on the law, you commentate on the law, and truth be told, I don't want to call you out here, but when the indictment first came down, you were sitting at your desk with law books around you trying to figure it out. And that's my point about the difference between the homeless guy and this particular case. The homeless guy that you refer to typically has hurt someone, robbed someone, stole someone, jumped a turnstile, then whatever. And Barry Kamens knows exactly what the crimes are, what the elements are, what the judge is going to charge the jury, the law is. Here, we're in the kind of the land of the unknown. Someone of your caliber, who's been doing this for decades, who's sharp as a tack, who writes the books on evidence and sentencing and search and seizure, is like, well, I don't know the answer to that question. To me, the way I feel is if you're going to be the first prosecutor to bring a case against the president of the United States, it should be a pretty clear-cut case, like the federal case in Florida, where they said, you got to turn over all the boxes. He said, okay, I did. You got them all. They went in and he lied. That's a pretty clear-cut case.
Correct.
Lying to the feds. Martha Stewart went to jail for it, as millions of other people through the course of the history of America have gone to jail for. Here, it's a reach.
I agree with you. It's
a little creative.
It's creative. We're sort of in uncharted waters. But if the prosecutor can prove his case and the jury finds that they believe beyond a reasonable doubt that these business records were filed for a purpose of committing another crime, and under the law they make out the felony, what is the jury supposed to do? You're saying the case should never have been brought.
I'm saying that if you're going after the first president, I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Barack Obama, okay? But if you're going after the first person of this stature who is not a has-been, right? It's not like Barack Obama, right, who's served two terms and he can't serve again. This is someone who's about to maybe become the president again, to be quote-unquote creative for the first time. And look, we don't have enough time on the show to get into the fact that Cy Vance, the prior DA, looked into this heavily and he decided not to charge. And then Alvin Bragg said, yeah, we're not charging him. Then the special prosecutor who worked in the office writes a book. Now we are charging him. It just doesn't seem as clean as it should if you're trying to really get in the middle of a United States presidential election.
Well, You bring up a good point that this is sort of what we call sui generis.
Seriously, explain to people what that means.
It's unique on its own. It doesn't mean someone once said sui generis are large portions of Japanese food, but
there we go.
But you're right. But
I mean, by the way,
the prosecutor has ultimate discretion.
Okay, I know the prosecutor's ultimate discretion, and sui generis is a term that I learned from you and Judge Leventhal regarding Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
And the way we're upset about the fact, and people are upset about the fact that, well, we're going after Trump, and he shouldn't be gone after because he's a good guy, et cetera, and certain people feel that way. Well, if you're going to feel that way about him, and you shouldn't be sui generis with Trump, well, then you know what, folks? If you're going to be true to yourself and consistent, you should feel the same way about the way they treated Harvey Weinstein, who probably is not very popular. But that's the part that really upsets me as well, is that people are pissed off about Trump, who like Trump, but they're not pissed off about someone who is not very well liked. But they're both being basically treated the same way. For Trump, this is cases of first impression. For Harvey, they were rulings that neither you nor I know the prosecutor found that had ever been ruled before.
That's true.
But the wheels are kind of coming off the cart of the justice system, being pushed by popularity contests and opinion polls, as opposed to being pushed by the law.
But there are those who say that Mr. Bragg is apolitical in the sense that he follows the facts and the law where they take them, and that he had a good faith basis for believing that a crime was committed here, that there are thousands of cases, I understand none involving former presidents, but thousands of people have been charged with falsifying business records, and hundreds have been charged with falsifying business as a felony. And he found, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, in good faith he found that the facts in this case led him to where he is today. So history will decide whether was a good decision or not.
Just to be clear, if there were two credible witnesses who said, well, you know that bill that Donald Trump signed into law, I handed him a bag of cash and that's why he signed it, okay, then charge him with the crime. That's a very clear-cut crime of all kinds of crimes, federal crimes, state crimes. I have no problem with charging him, although we're going to find out on April 25th when we hear the oral arguments of the Supreme Court of the United States whether a president is immune, has immunity. But I just, the part that, and we could slow this segment down where you began, where I don't agree with you, and I say that with all due respect, that he's being treated like a homeless guy who mugged someone or took a candy bar from a candy store or jumped the turnstile. Or, you know, I think they're working hard to figure out how to get him.
Well, don't forget, you have to give some credit to the jury and the jury that's going to be, and they may, in fact, acquit Mr. Trump for the reasons that you're talking about.
I hear you. I understand. I mean, and one other thing I need to talk to Barry Cammons about. Isn't the law that they're saying he broke doesn't have to do with federal tax laws?
Well, some of the laws that could be involved are federal tax laws. Some are federal election laws, but there are also state election laws, state tax laws. It's a virtual menu.
To the best of your knowledge, do you remember a state case in your years as a prosecutor in the state system, a defense attorney in the state system, a judge in the state system, a supervising judge in the state system, where a prosecutor is using federal laws to bootstrap onto into a state law to charge someone with a crime?
I do not.
Okay.
So,
I mean, okay. So when Mr. Bitter is listening to this and he's going to yell at me and saying, oh, you're in Trump's pocket. I'm not in Trump's pocket. I'm in the pocket of the integrity of the system. And I just feel that, look, I've said this many times. Letitia James is a human being. I actually like her. She's great to hang out with. Should a prosecutor be running for office saying, vote for me because I'm going to put this individual in jail?
Well, I don't think so. Those are the words of Mr. Bragg.
Well, they showed a clip the other day of him saying that, you know, he would, I don't want to paraphrase it, but I don't think those were the words of Mr. Bragg.
Right.
Not the way they were of Miss James.
Yes.
But that's Barry Cameron. You've been around for a long time. Can you ever imagine Frank Hogan saying that? Imagine Joe Hines running on that platform, Dick Brown running on that platform, Bob Morgenthau running on that platform. Vote for me. I'm going to get Mr. X.
No, I agree with you. I cannot imagine they're saying those words. Well, look, I think we'll just have to follow this trial.
How many jurors we have now? Seven. So
we have seven jurors. We'll have a full jury and alternates by Friday. I think opening statements
will be. No, hold on. You think it'll be by Friday or by Thursday? I'm just going to tell you why. Ron Kuby and I, he said it was going to take, I think, 3 days to pick a jury. I said it was going to take four. So right now we're at two. So he's probably, well, if they pick a jury at the end of Thursday, he's right. If it goes till Friday, then I'm right.
And I think Judge Merchant said the lawyer should expect to open on Monday. We'll see. And again, watch for what Mr. Bragg, or I'm sorry, the DA trying the case, says about the felonies. We'll find out what felonies exactly now are going to be in play at this trial.
Barry Cammons. I mean, you are the one and only. I think I disagree with you. Are you going to, like, dock my pay or anything like that?
No, I think you're still in the clear.
I'm still in the clear? All right. You would have loved to have been down at the Supreme Court with me. It was really a fascinating day.
Well, it's a fascinating place, and I envy you. I was there a few times, but once I
did
was...
Did you ever stand at the podium and, like... No, I'm serious. And, like, move anyone's admission?
Yes, I admitted a class from the Brooklyn Bar Association. Yes.
Yeah, me too. Pretty nerve-wracking, though, right? Even though all you're doing is reading off a list of names.
Yeah, it is. Well, when you think of
the majestic, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. I think we're done with Judge Cammons. Thank you very much, sir. You can go back and sign and keep writing. Everyone loves when Judge Barry Cammons is on. I was told I really just need him as my only guest. We're going to take a very quick break and come back. I'll tell you a little bit about Washington, D.C.
In a bottle, get your BOGO on Green Tea TX now. Summer is right around the corner. Now is the time to shed that belly fat, boost energy, and hydrate your body. Invite Health's Green Tea TX is a liquid tincture that you add to water or any beverage to turn it into a super drink to fuel your system. Organic, kosher, zero calories, no sugar, and decaffeinated, so no jitters. Provides powerful antioxidants and contains vitamin C to help your skin look and feel its best. Green Tea TX is great for weight loss, fat burning, mood, and immune health. Act now for this limited time buy one get one free offer on Green Tea TX Liquid. Shipping is free. Call 800-673-2345. That's 800-673-2345 or go to invitehealth.com. What are you waiting for? Order now to get your buy one get one free offer on Green Tea TX. 800-673-2345. That's 800-673-2345.
All right, so hopefully this weekend I'm picking up my Honda Prelude. from Dominic and Enzo. It should be running well and all shiny. I just got a little tune up for it. 1987, a 1987 Honda Prelude that runs like it's brand new. How cool is that? I will tell you that that particular Prelude was not bought at Bay Ridge Honda, but millions of cars over 60 years have been bought at Bay Ridge Honda. They are one of the best-selling dealerships, and why? Because of the Sabah family. It really is. It all starts at the top. It's now Rob Sabah. His sister Danielle is there. But with their dad before that, over 60 years, Bay Ridge Honda is really serving the whole New York City area. They are so community-oriented. They are part of the fabric of New York City. And we're very, very lucky to have them. And right now they have these great deals. First of all, if you have a car to trade in, they're going to give you the best value for your car. If you need to borrow money to buy a car, they have APR as low as 1.9%. They have the coolest cars that are out there right now. The Accord, the Civic, the Passport, the HRV, the CRV. They're right there on the showroom floor, or they have this huge storage warehouse. You can go pick up your car. All the people there are so helpful. They're going to fill out all that paperwork, get you your financing, and you're going to drive out with a beautiful car. It's going to have that new car smell. You are going to be so happy. It's Wednesday night. You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Go over to Bay Ridge Honda, 88th Street and 4th Avenue in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. It is a beautiful location. There's some great restaurants there. It's right by the subway. If you need to take the train there, you take the train there and you can drive home. How cool is that? Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com.
Kevin McCullough is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Very nice, very nice, Alex.
Got a little magnetic fields for you there.
I will tell you that Washington, D.C. is a beautiful city. You know, I feel very similar to New York. You know, if you read about it, oh, crime is through the roof. It's horrible. I would never go there. I would never be there at night. I would never blah, 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 blah. Look, it's like all the other big cities right now. You got to be, as my father always says, he's telling me as I'm a kid, be alert, be alert, be alert. You know, you don't have to walk around with the earpods. You don't have to walk around with blinders on. You just look around, you walk confidently, and you're usually okay.
And the metro is so clean. I don't know if you take the trains when you're down there, but
I walked like a maniac. I really walked like a maniac. Being in the United States Supreme Court and being in Congress, everyone should do it. You know, I spoke to Mike Jaccarino, a partner of my firm. He's 42 years old. Never, maybe he's 41 and going to be 42. Never been to Washington, D.C. in his life. Guy's from Buffalo. He's been to Machu Picchu. He's been to Urbino, but he's never been to Washington, D.C. He's been to Iceland. He's never been to Washington. It is beautiful. The Capitol is gorgeous. The White House is gorgeous. You know, the Lincoln Memorial, it just gives you chills hanging out there.
The cherry blossoms, pool. Are they there now?
No, they just died. They were all, honestly, the blossoms were on the floor, on the ground. I could see them, but the whole town had like fake cherry blossoms all over the place. It was wonderful, but the majesty for a lawyer, when you walk into the Supreme Court of the United States of America, there's just something that like you feel in your veins that is just so on another level of like, wow, this is serious stuff. And sitting there and watching the arguments, and my heart was pounding through my chest for these litigants. I will talk to you about that more tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have on Chief Kemper. It'll be Transit Thursday. I want to wish you all a happy hump day night. I'm going to go on CNN. At 9 p.m. and then we're going to go see Luca, and then I'll drive him to school tomorrow and have a packed day tomorrow. But I'll be back tomorrow night, live and local, on the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
Arthur Idala Power Hour is sponsored by Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins, PC.